Good morning, church. All them smiling faces out there, thank you so much for being here this morning. I pray a special blessing upon you. If you are here today for the first time or for the first time in a long time, we'd like to welcome you to Lena Vista Baptist Church. You'll find in your bulletin a connection card like this. We'd love for you to fill that out for us if you would. We'd have your name and a place to get a hold of you. On the back of that sheet as well, there is a place there for a prayer request, should you have them. Home folks, thank you for being faithful as well. And I just pray that this morning the Lord would speak to you up close and personally. You will have a genuine and real worship experience, maybe the best one that we've ever had in our entire life. So thank you so much for being here. Brother Mark.
Good morning, everyone. Let's all stand and continue our worship service by singing, He Knows My Name. Please, everybody stand. At this time, we'd like to invite everyone to come up, and if you feel the need to pray here at the altar or where you're standing, whatever the case may be, we want to give this opportunity to ask the Lord to bless this service. So if you would come at this time, especially the deacons, please. Thank you. Father, again, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. And Lord, what an opportunity it is to come and to worship into your house. And Lord, we just thank you for each and every one that has attended today. And Lord, that we know that there's a lot that are sick. We know that we need to pray for this country. And Lord, we just lift all these prayer requests up to you, Lord, because we know that at the end of the day, your will is going to be done. And Lord, we just pray that you'll give us strength and you'll give us wisdom. And we thank you again for this church, Lord. And we thank you for all these folks that have stopped what they were doing out of this busy week and come to worship you, Lord. And Lord, we want to just praise you and we love you and thank you, Lord, for all the things that you do. In Christ's name, amen. Let's all stand, sing hymn number 407, Because He Lives.
Gracious Heavenly Father, it is a joy to be in your house this morning for the opportunity that we get to come here, Lord. We don't have to. We come here because we want to, and we want to serve and honor you. Lord, we do have hope because we know you do live. Lord, Easter's coming soon, and Lord, we'll get to worship that day when you sacrificed yourself on that cross for us, that you shed your blood, that we may have a hope of eternity through faith in Christ. So, Lord, as we worship today, I pray, Lord, the Spirit would just be in this place, would rest upon each one of us, that as we worship you, we'd be obedient to your calling. And as the pastor brings the word, Lord, I pray that we would all listen, hear, and God, as he said, leave this place a different person than we came in. So, Lord, we continue to worship you by giving up the offering this morning. I just pray, Lord, that you would use it, multiply it for your kingdom and for your work throughout the world. And we just praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, baby. Thank you. Let's everybody stand and sing Victory in Jesus, hymn number 426.
Made me whole. I He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Stand and sing with it on the chorus.
He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
Be seated.
Amen. Well, good morning again. It's great to see you as always. Thank you so much. If you brought a Bible with you today, or if you don't have one, there should be one in the pew there in front of you. I ask you to turn to Psalm 96. I want to share a few verses out of Psalm 96, and while you're going there, I would like to share with you what the next couple of weeks are going to be all about. We started several weeks ago and talked about worship, talked about the position of music in worship. In the last couple of weeks, we talked about prayer and worship, and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about giving and worship, and please don't turn me off completely right away. Because giving is far more than anything that has to do with dollars and cents. It has to do with time and talent and praise to our Lord. And I want to share those things with you this morning and next Sunday as well. So follow with me if you would. Verse 1 of Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You so much for these moments that we have this morning. Hopefully, Lord, to lay aside some of the cares of the world, some of the struggles, some of the issues, Father, that are in our lives, Lord, we so desperately need to have a pause and spend some time, Lord, worshiping You and thanking You and praising You and glorifying You for who You are, for what You have done, for what You are doing, Lord, and what You're going to be doing. What a privilege this is to meet together, Father, as Your church. To enjoy the fellowship, to enjoy the singing, Lord, to enjoy hopefully the teaching and preaching of Your word. I thank You, Father, for each person, Lord, who set aside that time to be here today. My prayer is, Holy Spirit, make the word of God very real today. And may we always be thankful for everything You are and do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. You know, if you've ever moved, you finally realize just how much stuff that you got. And if you're a borderline hoarder, you begin to realize how much stuff you wish you didn't have, but you do. Today's not really about stuff. It's a whole lot easier for you and I to gather than it is to give. Sometimes it's easier to assume things or consume things or have them around us or gather them around us than it is to give. I recognize and realize that some of you have the gift of giving. Others of you do not. It's not a criticism, it's an observation. Some of you have the passion to do so, and others do not. Some have the resources to do so, others not so much. However, the Bible is clear in a number of ways how we ought to feel and act when it comes to giving. And I want to assure you that this message is way more about something other than getting your wallet out and putting money in the offering plate. Giving and worship go hand in hand like peanut butter and jelly. It becomes really important to understand that worship, that giving is an act of worship. When we give of ourselves, when we give of our time, when we give of our talent, when we give of our resources, that's one thing. But it's something else when we talk about worship and giving worship to the Lord Jesus in praise, because he's certainly worthy of that. Worship is about giving. No matter how you look at it, it's about giving. Giving to God from a heart of love and adoration. Giving of yourself, that means your time. Giving of your talent, that means your abilities. Giving praise and worship to the Lord Jesus. And it's not just in song, but it is certainly recognized in song. Giving of your strength, putting forth that effort that you have unto the glory of God and for your own particular growth. And giving of your wealth, giving of the blessings that God has given you. He only requires a portion. He only requests a portion. Giving up sometimes our ambitions and our egos, humbling ourselves and realizing that we have been saved not only from something, but to something. So many times it's misunderstood. The idea of giving is misunderstood. It's talked about all in dollars and cents and anything, and rather than anything else. And I'm happy to tell you and share with you this morning, there's a lot of the Word of God that talks about giving in our worship experience that has nothing to do with money. Sometimes we get confused by that. Family was riding home from church one day. It was about 20 minutes after 12, and Father got in the car. It was in August in Florida, as a matter of fact. It was miserable outside, and he was sweating from the sanctuary to the car. And he finally got in, and he sat down, and he slammed the door, and the family got in behind him, and they sat down, and they slammed the doors. And he went, "Boy, I'm so glad that's over with." He said, "That preacher needs to learn how to shut it off at noontime." His wife spoke up and she said, "Yeah, I got my dose of it too." So, "Did you hear that choir? I know there were several people that weren't even close to being on key. I don't know why in the world they sing like that." And a teenage daughter looked over and said, "Yeah, well, I kind of got my dose of it. It was kind of disgusting to me. We talked about things that were completely uninteresting to me in our Sunday school class. And I thought my Sunday school teacher would never get done." 8-year-old son in the back seat says, "I don't know what y'all are whining about." He said, "I thought that was a pretty good show for a buck." Ouch. Sometimes that's not worthy of an amen. But sometimes that's the way we look at it. You got all kinds of different perspectives. You see, I don't believe that true worship can take place unless you and I give something. I'm talking about time, talent, resources. Today I want to talk about the giving of praise. And that's really opened my eyes to something related to giving that I hadn't really thought about this way. We can't give sincerely from a heart of love and devotion unto our Lord without that being an act of worship. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about giving. We're commanded to respond to God's goodness by giving back to him. You know, that's Exodus chapter 25, verse 2, 1 Chronicles 29, 9, Proverbs 3, 9, and there are more. Scripture provides guidelines for you and I in our giving in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there's the whole list of scripture, Deuteronomy 16, Matthew 6, and Matthew 10, Romans 12, 8, 1 Corinthians 16, 2, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 9, 7. And it talks about in those passages of scripture to be able to give freely, to be able to give joyfully, to be able to give, cheerfully, The whole idea is that we get the privilege to give. We get an opportunity to do something with God's economy. We are encouraged to give according to our abilities. You know, you got Leviticus 14:30, Ezra 2:69, Acts 11:29, 2 Corinthians 8:12. We're urged to give systematically, have a plan. We're urged to give our tithes, Genesis 14:20, 28:22, and Malachi 3:10. So giving becomes a reflection of our attitude and our commitment to praise and worship. And in this particular chapter here, it's beautiful because it divides up the responsibility of our giving to God in three different areas. And we're only going to talk about one of those today. Today we're going to focus on area number one. That's giving God glory. The other ones are giving God strength and giving God an offering. So giving God glory, verses 6 or 96, verse 8. I love this verse. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I'll even read verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. So the psalmist here is saying, we get to sing a new song unto the Lord. We have the privilege to share through music that which is meaningful to you and I. We sing unto the Lord. We sing unto the Lord and we bless his name, is what verse 2 says, to bring forth his salvation from day to day. We declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among the people. And verse 4 is absolutely special. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He says he is to be feared above all gods. Would what we do in our worship services look like, feel like, appear to be giving of glory unto our Lord? That's the question that I had to ask myself in my study. Is what we're doing and how we go about doing it, is it an act of praise unto our Lord, and would it qualify to be a worship experience? And happily, I'm able to say, yes, I believe that it does. I believe that it is important. I believe that you and I pay close attention to the things that we get to do. I believe we pay close attention to the songs that we sing, to the prayers that we pray, to the fellowship that we're a part of, to the glory that comes with the ability to give and the opportunity to give. So it comes in so many different ways. It deals, this whole idea of giving glory to God deals with our inner self, our ego, so to speak, and it's our priority in the process that God is most interested in. In other words, does it matter? Am I willing to call time out in my crazy busy schedule at least one time a week and show up at the house of the Lord unhindered by the things of the world? Can I pause long enough to recognize what so many of the Bible writers recognized? When I pray, do I thank God for all he is and all he continues to be and all that he has done and all that he will do? And as I took a close look at this particular aspect of our worship experience, giving glory unto the Lord stands really tall, and I'm not sure that I understand all that I want to share with you this morning in its fullest, but I do want to share this with you. So giving is not all about money. It's about giving what we have, who we are, and recognizing who he is and praising and glorifying him because of all of that. So you say, what does that involve? What is it that we need to be talking about? What is it that the people who wrote the Bible, what did they find in God that brought glory to him and growth to them? Psalm 99 verse 9 talks about giving glory to God for his holiness. We serve a holy God, friends. We serve a God separated. We serve a God who is just and who is kind and who is merciful. He is holy. He is set aside. We serve a God. We give glory to God because of his love and his faithfulness. Do you know anyone that loves you more than the Lord does? I don't know anyone that loves me more than the Lord does. This kind of a message, I realize, is not a toe-tapping, shouting hallelujah kind of message, but maybe it ought to be. We give glory to God because of his mercy. Would you rather have mercy or would you rather have justice? We'll pick mercy every time, won't we? Is our God merciful to us? Has he practiced mercy in your life? Are there things that you should have gotten that you didn't? Well, let me rephrase that another way. Did your dad or your mom not practice the doctrine of the divine woodshed on you as often as they should have? That would make it sound biblical that way, see? That's what my dad used to say. He says, I'm going to practice the doctrine of the divine woodshed. So pick your switch and come on down. Some of you know what that's like. And I'm a better person because he loved me enough to practice mercy and grace. Because of God's wondrous works, my goodness, in your own life, just call a timeout for a second or two. In your own life, what kind of wondrous work has God done? If we were going to have a testimony time, this would be it, wouldn't it? Yeah. How great our God is. How many wonderful works he's done. That's Matthew chapter 15, verse 31. And we can even give glory to God in his judgments. And why is that? Because they're fair. Because they're right. Because they are absolutely just. That God does everything right all the time in every circumstance and in every case. God's judgments are absolutely right. God calls it like it is. He tells you like it is. Chapter and verse, all throughout the Word of God, God honors his Word. He has spoken, and it is truth. I shared this in a Sunday school class earlier, and I will believe it for as long as I'm drawing breath. I still believe that this book right here is the only 100% truth in advertising left on the planet. Nothing else is better than this. Nothing else is more true than this. And you might say, oh, but Brother Kenny, there's some hard things to learn. There's some hard things in there. Like, you reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. And like, be sure your sins will find you out. Yes. And be angry and sin not. Really? You got that one under control? That's a hard deal. It can happen because God said it could. So the whole point being is here, we should give God, you know, joy and glory. We should give God praise and glory for his judgments. Although they might sound difficult, they're still here for us. What about this one? Let's give God glory for his deliverance. Guess what? You've been delivered from a life of sin and an eternity in hell because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and you receiving him as your Lord and Savior. You have been delivered from an eternity separated from God. Shouldn't that bring some glory and praise to our Heavenly Father? I would certainly think so. What about giving glory to God for his grace? Wow. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. Now I'm found. I was blind. Now I see. How could you not give glory to God for his grace? We could go on and on and on and on about the things that we should give glory to God for. I'm loving singing glory praise songs to our Lord. Worthy is a Lamb, worthy is our Lord, because he alone honestly is worthy of our praise. Nobody else is worthy of our praise. And he is glorified by our praise. And we are to give unto the Lord the glory that's due unto his name. That's what Psalm 96 verse 8 said. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And here's the part that comes with giving also. Bring an offering. Come into his courts and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. This experience that we have, and I'm going to sound like I'm beating this horse a lot, but I'm so impressed and so pleased and so, I can't think of the right adjective, grateful that we get to do this. I missed it for a lot of years. Maybe you've been there too. I started it because I had to. I was made to go to church, whether I wanted to or not. And at that particular time, I resented it. And now I'm so glad. But I think that I have sat through enough services and had my head and my heart so far away from what was going on right in front of me that my statement might have been just like that kid, you know. Yeah, it's a great show for a buck. This is really personal to me, and you may see me struggling a little bit with this morning. It's important that we realize that worship is a proactive response to God. It is by design. And I will mention this to you over and over and over again because I've been the guilty party many times in my life. I sat through the preaching and the teaching and the singing of the Word of God by passionate people who cared a lot about giving that message out and receiving that message themselves and sharing their hearts with them, with us. And I missed a lot of that. I sat through a lot of church services, and God was not on my mind. God was not on my heart. I heard enough gospel preached to save the entire world and cared very little about it all. I showed up because I had to. I showed up because I felt like sometimes I needed to. But still yet, the whole idea is, while I was there, did I ever really stop and consciously glorify my God in the process? Did I really stop to thank Him for all of those things that we talked about there? You know, what does it really mean to give glory and honor to God, do unto His name? What does it really mean? I think it involves the practice of praise, which means giving God recognition and credit for the things that He is and the things that He's done. Think about this. Giving God glory and honor that's due to Him talks about His majesty. Who's greater than God? Nobody. The psalmist had it right. You know, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. What about His glory? What about His excellence? God is excellent. God is perfect. There's no sin in our Heavenly Father, none whatsoever. He is great and He's done great things. Excuse me. We talked about His holiness, how holy our God is. What about His wisdom? I love the book of Proverbs. It's a hard study. I get it. But it's great because it gives us a lot of wisdom. Talks about great things, right choices to make. The production of truth and the understanding of those things and how it works in our life. God ought to be given glory because of His power. Who has the power to save us? Only God. Who has the power to give us strength to walk the right way that we should walk? Only God. What about His goodness? Should we praise God for His goodness? Do we serve a good God? Yeah, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And there was a time I didn't believe that. It's about mercy as well. God's practicing mercy. We give glory to God and honor to God because of His salvation. Without Him, I can't be saved. It's impossible for me to be saved without what God did for me. What about His wonderful works like we talked about before? And here's one that really speaks volumes to me. What about His counsel? Have you ever gone wrong reading this? The counsel that's here, the instructions that's here, the correction that's here, the education that's here, have we ever gone wrong by applying these principles to our lives? I don't think so. I've never gone wrong. And here's a big one, giving glory and honor to God because of His pardon of sin. Wow. Nobody else provided that for you and I. So I think about it. This can be done verbally. It should be done verbally. We ought to tell Him on a regular basis, God, You're awesome. God, You're great. God, I love You for who You are as much as I love You for what You do. God, You're majestic. God, You have wonderful glory. God, You're absolutely excellent in the things that You do. God, You are enormously great. God, You're holy, which makes it possible for me to be holy. Lord, You have great wisdom. I can trust You. Your word is truth, and I can hold it in my hand. I can put it into my heart. And God, Your power is beyond any power in the universe. God, Your goodness is beyond any goodness, and Your mercy and Your salvation, and on and on and on and on. Is it too much? Can we say too much about how great our God is? We can't say too much. When you and I come in here, we have the privilege designed and set aside in our worship experiences to say these things to God. Our prayers ought to include these things to God. Our praise and worship, whether it's spoken, excuse me, whether it's sung musically, so many songs talk about the greatness of God and the goodness of God, and that He's not beyond the glory and honor that we give to Him. I'm so wrapped up in trying to get this across to my own heart and my own mind. God help my prayer to be different than ever before. When's the last time when I prayed or spoke glory out loud to you? When's the last time that I said it from here? God, you're great. You're awesome. Your glory is beyond any glory that's ever been known. God, everything you do is absolutely right. Thank you so much for what you've done for my life. I now have salvation because of you. Thank you for the counsel of your word. I can read this and know that it's absolutely true. Do we have that kind of feeling? Is that kind of emotion and passion built into our response to a God that's worthy of our worship? You see, that's what the base word means. Worship means worth-ship. Worth-ship. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If we refuse to attribute worth and glory and honor and praise to our God, if we refuse to do those things, whether it's verbally or whether it's spoken in prayer or whether it's sung through great hymns or praise and worship music, if we refuse to be involved in that process, we may as well be looking at our Lord and say, guess what? You're not worth it. That hurts, doesn't it? That really stuck in my heart the first time I heard a guy teach that, because he told us that. He said the main definition of the word worship is worth-ship. It's a proactive word. It means that the desire of our Heavenly Father is that you and I would show up here during worship opportunities and that we would be prepared in our heart to attribute worth to the one who deserves it more than anyone else will ever deserve it. Did I come here this morning looking to have a worship experience with my Heavenly Father? Or, let me give you an example. I'm a NASCAR fan, and I'm like Reese's, not sorry. Just so you know, I'm not taking sides here. Okay? There were moments when the Daytona 500 was going to be run, and they didn't wait till 2:30 like they're waiting today. And I couldn't get to my car fast enough after church. What a shame. And I regret that. And I repent of that. Yes, I enjoy NASCAR. And chances are very good that I'll be in front of the TV at some time today to watch them boys go round and round and wad all them expensive race cars up. But I came to church a few times, and I was more interested in how my favorite driver was going to do and how quickly I could leave and get in front of my TV. And folks, it's real easy for things like that to become idols, and our worship is of something other than God. And I had to repent of it because I was wrong. And I'm saying that to just simply let you know how easy it is for all of us, if we're not careful, to come to this opportunity that we are presented with, this privilege called church, and have this and this here, instead of giving the glory and the praise to our God who rightly deserves it. You fill in the blank on what winds up becoming your preoccupation. And the thing about it is that there's only one person worthy of any kind of worship whatsoever. That's biblical, it's accurate, and it is absolutely the truth, and his name is Jesus. Why in the world do we praise him to begin with? Because he's our hope of glory, and the God who answers our prayers, and the God who hears us when we cry, and the God who understands us better than anybody will ever understand us, and the God who's provided more for us than anyone will ever provide, because he's the God who absolutely keeps his promises, every single one of them to the detail. He is the one who preserves our life. He's the one who orders every single heartbeat that you and I experience in our lifetime. And when he stops ordering those, that heart will stop beating and we will step out into our eternity. Because he delivers us from danger when we don't even think about it on our own. Because he protects us with his strong arm in ways that you and I could not imagine. So God is glorified, I believe, when we consciously offer gifts of praise to him. Consciously, proactively, intentionally offer praise and all throughout all of our life, and more as we live our lives out and as we grow older. Day and night we offer praise and glory unto our God always for all things, and our Bible teaches us so much about why we would do those kinds of things, because he is certainly, absolutely, and always worthy. Our understanding of God and his greatness increases with our offerings of praise. The more we acknowledge how wonderful and how incredible our God is, the more we say those things to him, the more we sing those things to him, the more we pray those things to him, the more we practice those things to him, the greater he becomes in our eyes, and it's easier for us to do that. We're not the only ones who offer those kinds of praises and glories to God. And as we read the Word of God, it makes it even more clear. We join with angels when we give praise. Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 148, verse 2. When we praise God, we praise with the saints of the ages. It has been going on long before you and I ever drew our first breath here. People before us, saints of the ages, praise and worship God. Psalm 30, verse 4. Psalm 149, verse 5. We actually praise God with children because they are of such a pure heart. When they praise God from a pure heart. They are unashamed of their open praise. They don't have a problem jumping up and down and waving their hands and enjoying their real, genuine praise of the Lord. I've done children's church, and I saw it with my own eyes. Little kids who were clearer in their understanding of how awesome God is than maybe I was at the time, and I was considered their teacher, really. Guess what? They were teaching me. Should we be ashamed if we put our hand in the air and thank our God for how awesome he is? No. For some of us, praise is going to be on bended knee at the altar. For some, it's going to be a very quiet bowing of the head from the pew. For others, it's going to be hands in the air. The posture of praise differs from person to person. The value of praise is immeasurable. So I don't become your judge in how you do that. And you don't become mine. Here is our judge. People of every socioeconomical level is who we praise God with. Psalm 148, verse 11. It doesn't matter if you have a dollar in your pocket or $1 million in the bank. Praise falls on level ground at the cross. And everyone drawing breath and having a pulse has the privilege to offer praise and should do so. We praise God with the small and the great. Revelation 19, verse 5. Those whose names are may be known worldwide, and those names who may not be known out of the church or out of the neighborhood that they live in. Does not matter. He receives all that praise. We praise God with the young and with the old. Psalm 148, verse 12. Have you noticed something? Lots and lots and lots of scripture references talk about what I'm sharing with you this morning. And that's one of the things that I love, this resource that I'm reading, The Dynamics of Corporate Worship. This guy puts you right back in the Word of God and gives you chapter and verse for proof so that it doesn't become somebody's opinion or somebody's attitude. And I love that. And we also praise God with all of creation. Psalm 148, verses 1 through 10. Psalm 145, verse 21. Psalm 150. Verse 6, I find out that's, you know, the writer of the book of Psalms, David, wrote many, if not all of them, but many of them. And you can see what was coming out of David. Was he perfect? No. He was a man after God's heart, but he did not make every choice perfect. He had failures in his life like you and I had failures in our lives. But one thing about David, he wasn't short on recognizing who God is and what God is all about and what God has done. And every time in his life when he failed miserably, even when he failed miserably, he managed to go back and understand and see and give God the glory that was his and that should be his. How do we give glory? Well, we praise God with our understanding. I get it, Lord. You are who you are, and we are who we are. And we're very different from you. And I understand that you saw my position, that I was going to die in my sins without a Savior. And I understand that you gave Jesus Christ as a sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins if I would receive him as my Lord and Savior. I understand what a price you paid for me. And I give you glory, and I give you praise, and I thank you for that. With my own heart, with my whole heart, a genuine heartfelt response to understanding and believing and receiving the great gift of God through Jesus Christ. I give you glory with my lips. In my prayers, in my conversation, in my testimony, and yes, with my voice as I sing praises and glory unto you. Many of our hymns talks about, you know, to God be the glory, great things he hath done, and on down the line, and I just lost the rest of the verse, but you know the song that I'm talking about. So our hymns give praise to the glory of God. Much of the music that you're now being introduced to a little bit at a time is praise and worship music, and it talks about giving glory and honor and praise to an amazing God, to a God who's provided all of these things for us, and together we get to say those things unto the Lord, whether it's in song or whether it's in testimony or in prayer or in conversation. We give him glory with great joy. That's what the Word of God says. We give him joy, give him glory with joy. We give him glory with gladness. We give him glory with thanksgiving every time that you and I live thankfully and we spend our moments being thankful and we recognize those things. We give glory unto God Thanksgiving is not a day in November. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. And it matters. God hears it, and I believe that he wants to hear it. He's asked to hear it, and we've been given the privilege to give it. Something profoundly joyous begins to happen when you and I begin to give God the glory and the praise that he honestly deserves. When we show up here and we have this privilege of corporate worship as Lena Vista Baptist Church, my prayer is, has been, and will always be, when you walk through those glass doors back there and you take your seat wherever you're at here, my prayer is that your antennas will be up, that your volume will be up, that your receiver will be fresh and ready, and that you came through those glass doors with the purpose of receiving a blessing from the Lord and having a worship experience where you can give to him the glory that he deserves. One size, my friend, does not fit all. Your glory will be different than mine. But the thing about it is it real? Are you here intentionally? Did you come here to have a worship experience? Did you welcome the Spirit of God to make the Word of God real? If it's confirmation, so be it. If it's comfort, so be it. But my friends, if it's conviction, so be it. Part of worship is understanding that God sometimes speaks back. And it's not always perfectly comfortable, but it is definitely appropriate. I believe that as we continue to praise God, we'll show more praise. Our lives will be different. We will learn how to be filled with a spirit of praise, Isaiah 61, verse 3. We will render praise to God even under affliction, Acts chapter 16, verse 25. We've been talking about that on Wednesday night a little bit, about the persecution that came to the early church and how those guys and girls decided to respond to God, that they praised him no matter what. They praised him under every condition and in any condition. And today I'm absolutely sure, although I don't know details, I'm absolutely sure that many, if not all of you, came here today carrying some kind of burden. Emotional, spiritual, relational, physical, all of the above. You brought some burden with you when you came to church here today. You had some preoccupation of your mind when you set foot in this building. So many times the expectation is, and I say this with love and respect because I've been there, sometimes the expectation is, well, here I am, bless me if you can. And churches and preachers and ministers of music decide, what on earth can I do to make them want to come back? What can we do to make this worth the time invested? How can we set up our order of service? What can we do in our worship experience to cause those folks who came here expecting something to want to come back? Well, you see, my friends, praise and worship of our Heavenly Father will bring you back every time. Real praise and worship will bring you back every time because you had an experience that you can't get in the world. You had an experience that spoke directly to your heart and to your mind, and in your head and in your heart, you learned to express the joy that you have and the privilege that you have of praising God. And you'll invite other people to join you in praise as well. You know, this is Psalm 34, verse 3, and Psalm 95, verse 1, and James chapter 5, verse 13. And it's just throughout the Word of God, back and forth and back and forth, everywhere. All of these people, they understood how valuable it was to praise God. They understood how meaningful it was to not be bashful, to not be hesitant. If you feel like shouting hallelujah, then shout hallelujah. It's worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it. Come and expect a worship experience. Get actively involved in it. So you see, my friends, giving is so much more than about money. We'll get to that. And I heard somebody go, oh, no. Now, we'll get to that, but I think you'll be pleased. It's our privilege, church, and his expectation. And he's worthy. Don't ever forget that. He is worthy. Maybe you're here today and you say, I don't have a reason to praise God because I don't have any kind of a relationship with him. You can. You can nail that down today. You can walk right down this aisle during our invitation and take me by the hand and look me in the eyes and do like my friend Greg did years ago. I need to be saved. Not difficult, not complicated. I would love to pray with you for you to receive Christ. Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you need some altar time like we started the service off with. Whatever the Spirit of God speaks to you, would you do that today for his glory and your growth? Stand with me as we pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. You're an awesome God, incredible. We can't say too much about how awesome and incredible you are. Help our praying and our fellowship and our singing and our preaching and our teaching and everything that we do as a church. God, I just want people to understand that we here at Lena Vista Baptist Church, we love our Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise him and we worship him. And we are not ashamed to say and do those things. Because you are indeed worthy, and we love you and thank you for all you are and all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come?
Hymn number 312. Just a couple announcements. There's been a good turnout so far on the CPR class. Probably sometime, not this week, but next week, we'll get a date. But if you haven't had the opportunity to sign up, please sign up. It's about a two-hour class, and it'll be here at the church. Also, we still need some nursery workers. So if you're available, please sign up back there. And then also on March 6th, we're trying to get a group together, and there's a sign-up sheet back there on the Ernie Haas and the Signature Sound. There's a concert that we're going to go to, and we're just trying to get a group to go. So with that being said, Brother David, would you dismiss us today, please? Mm-hmm.